There is a fire that can warm your house, and there's a fire that can burn down your house. So human sexuality is like that fire. It's a fire that can bless and warm, or it's a fire then too that can curse and burn, depending on the choices that we make.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
There's a good little book by Randy Alcorn. It's called The Purity Principle. And in that, he takes up the need for sexual integrity, spiritual sexual purity. And at the beginning, he says something. I want to read this to you. The chapter, the little chapter title is called Forfeiting What Could Have Been. Forfeiting What Could Have Been. He tells a story. He says, Eric stormed into my office and flopped into a chair. I'm really mad at God, he said. Having grown up in a strong church family, he'd met and married a Christian girl, and now he was the picture of misery. Okay, so why are you mad at God? Because, he said, last week I committed adultery. Long pause. Finally, I said, I can see why God would be mad at you, but why are you mad at God? And Eric explained that for several months he'd felt a strong mutual attraction with a woman at his office, and he'd prayed earnestly that God would keep him from immorality. Did you ask your wife to pray for you? I said. Did you stay away from the woman? Well, no. We went out for lunch almost every day. And slowly I started pushing a big book across my desk. And Eric watched, uncomprehending, as the book inched closer and closer to the edge. And I prayed aloud, O Lord, please keep this book from falling. I kept pushing and praying. God didn't suspend the law of gravity. The book went right over the edge, smacking the floor. I'm mad at God, I said to Eric. I asked him to keep my book from falling, but he let me down. Alcorn goes on to say, to this day I can still hear the sound of that book hitting the floor. It was a picture of Eric's life. Young, gifted, and blessed with a wife and little girl, Eric brimmed with potential. But his story didn't end that day. Eventually, he became a sexual predator, molesting his own daughter. And he's been in prison for years now, repentant, but suffering the consequences of inching his life toward the edge until gravity took over. How many of us Christians hope God will guard us from calamity and misery while every day we make small, seemingly inconsequential, immoral choices that inch us toward bigger immoralities? You know, at some point here, Eric, as well as many other stories like his, other situations, these men and women forfeited something that they could have had had they walked in holiness and purity. They forfeited God's grace that he could have given to them to sustain them through it. They forfeited the blessing of God on their life, on their sex life. And so each of these men and women forfeited something. They forfeited because they had become captivated by something else. So today our message in the book of Proverbs comes from Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 23, about captivation and being captivated and the need for sexual integrity. Because the fact is that human sexuality is a fire. Is fire good or bad? Yes, I heard right. It isn't good or bad, is it? It depends on its context, right, and how it's used. There is a fire that can warm your house, and there's a fire that can burn down your house. So human sexuality is like that fire. It's a fire that can bless and warm. or it's a fire then too that can curse and burn, depending on the choices that we make. Our primary scripture passage today in Proverbs chapter 5 directly addresses a man to avoid the temptation of adultery and to find his satisfaction in his wife. But you know, that is only one aspect of sexual integrity, of sexual purity. So you might be thinking, well, if our passage talks about a married man avoiding temptation, finding satisfaction in his wife, well, that's not me. I'm not a man, I'm not married, or whatever. Well, I want you to know you're not off the hook today, though, either, because this message is for you as well, because this message applies to all of us, and the principles of Proverbs about sexual integrity and purity certainly apply to all of us. So whether you are a man or a woman, whether you're married or single, whether you are young or mature, all of us are called to walk in sexual integrity and in purity. Note that the word that we use for our message title today is what? Captivated, captivated. What does it mean to be captivated? Well, if you look up a dictionary definition, it will tell you this. It says to be captivated means to influence and dominate by some special charm, art, or trait, and with an irresistible appeal. It's something that just kind of grabs a hold of you and pulls you in. An irresistible appeal, it captivates you. But you know, there is another sense of that word, an older sense of the word captivate as well, which means to seize or to capture. It grabs hold of you, but then it holds on to you, and this time in a negative sense of seizing and capture. And that's what we're going to see in our passage here about a holy captivation and an unholy captivation. Captivated. Are you captivated this morning? Let's look at the book of Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 23. Solomon is using figurative language here to describe sexual satisfaction. Proverbs 5, verses 15 through 23 says, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. Captivated, are you captivated by God's provision for you? Or are you captivated by some sinful temptation in front of you? Perhaps you've said yes to that temptation and now you feel yourself captivated by sin, held fast in its cords, dying for lack of discipline, led astray by your own folly. So let's look at that word, captivated, in terms of provision, divine provision. By the way, one interesting note here is, in addition to everything that Proverbs has to teach us, there is a lesson that I suppose that is not recorded in here that may be the greatest lesson of all. Many of these Proverbs were written by whom? Solomon. Do you know the life story of Solomon? He started off really well, didn't he? The wisdom of God. God richly blessed him with his wisdom. Wiser than anyone else in the world. God gave him everything. But at some point, he turned away from those very things that he had taught and instructed others. He turned away from his own proverbs that he had written. And he became an example of folly. This, the wisest man who lived, became a fool. Now, I believe then, if you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, you see repentance. That's an older Solomon who's repented. So there isn't any, we can be very wise men and women. And the danger of that is we might think that we're somehow above temptation. But if Solomon, such a wise man, could turn away from all of this and be an utter fool, read Ecclesiastes, what everything he did. He turned away from this. He didn't persevere in it. And there's an example in there for us. So this is good instruction, but remember that today, if you hold to this and you believe this and you're walking in it, that you and I both, we need to continue to walk in it and persevere. So first, though, God's provision for this desire or drive that he has given us and put within us. Another way of illustrating is you might think of it as being like a deep thirst. Has anyone here ever been really thirsty? You know what I'm talking about, like really thirsty. Not just the casual kind of, I'll get a glass of water, tea or something, but I mean really thirsty, where you can feel it in your whole body, that deep thirst. And you know that there is nothing that can satisfy that deep physical thirst quite like what? Water. Cold, pure, fresh water. So here in this passage we see that sexual thirst is to be satisfied by the pure, fresh water of God's provision. Here that a man's sexual thirst is to be satisfied by the pure, fresh water that is his wife, and that he is not to seek that fulfillment elsewhere. And through the use of this figurative language, a husband is told then, find your fulfillment in God's provision for you, your wife. And in fact, he is told to be what? Captivated. Captivated by her love. And that word translated captivated in the NIV conveys the idea of, there's another way we could translate it, conveys the idea of, you ready for this? Intoxication. Being drunk on her love. Being so satisfied and delighted in her that it's like being drunk on her love. In fact, the English Standard Version translation says, be intoxicated always in her love. So here you can tell, here's one place where the scriptures advocate being intoxicated. Usually says it's not a good thing to be intoxicated. But in this case, in the love of a wife, the love of your husband, be intoxicated, captivated, carried away and held in that. So that is God's provision. But there is also then a warning here then, isn't there? You see a warning in verses 20 through 23. It says, why, verse 20, why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast, and he will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. So the advice here is what? Be captivated, be intoxicated on the love of the wife? Why be captivated or caught up by another man's wife? And recognize that God sees and knows all. A man's ways are in full view of the Lord. He examines all his paths. And that there are consequences for the choices we make, right? It's like pushing that book off the desk that Randy Alcorn describes there earlier. You can pray all you want, but I'll bet you if you push a book off the edge of a desk, it's going to hit the ground every time, isn't it? Now, can God suspend the law of gravity? Absolutely. I don't think that's a problem for him at all. But he has established the universe with what? Certain rules, laws, principles, causes, and effects, including moral rules and laws, and moral and spiritual causes and effects. So if we are living consistently in a foolish, disobedient way, we shouldn't be surprised then when it causes the harm and the pain and the destruction that God said all along it would cause. God sees all, he knows all. How many of you are a little frightened by that reality that God sees all and he knows all? Actually, every hand should be up. It should be a little frightening. Remember we talked about the fear of the Lord? And we said the fear of the Lord is not, and I know, we like to say, well, it's great reverence and respect for God. Yeah, it is that. But it's more than that, though, too. There is a little element of holy fear there that knows that God is holy and just and righteous. That he says what he means, that he's not to be trifled with, and that there are consequences. God sees and knows all. And the choices that you and I make with regard to sexual purity, integrity, he knows those things. He knows the desires of our hearts. He knows the thoughts of our minds. He hears everything we say, sees everything we do. None of this goes unnoticed by the sovereign Lord. And he makes it very clear that there are consequences for our actions. There are consequences for our actions. So this is not something to be trifled with. Sexuality is a fire that can bless and warm, or it can curse and burn. So God has made provision for us. That's the principle that we take away from this. Whatever your status, the man and woman, married, single, God has made provision for us, and he calls all of us to walk in purity. And when we choose impurity, there are consequences for that. It brings harm to us. Listen to these consequences in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 through 35. He says, "For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way to life, keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in her heart, in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? And so is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished." And in Proverbs 7, it tells the story, again, of the danger of sexual immorality. About a young man who was foolish. Scripture calls him a young man who lacked judgment. And that nearby there was a religious woman. A religious woman who was an adulteress. So in Proverbs 7, He goes out on the street. He goes near to her house. In verse 13, it says, she took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows. In our day and age, we'd be saying, like, what, I just got back from church, right? I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. And with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk, and all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me, pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Pretty clear there, isn't it, about consequences for immoral choices, the damage and destruction that it brings. Now, again, you may be thinking, reading this here, and this is just like, well, this is just a message here for married women to avoid adultery, because the pain that that would bring. Well, that's not the full message of what the Bible says about sexual integrity, isn't it? That there is a message there in it for all of us, wherever, whatever our station in life may be. So I'd like us just to reflect for a moment on what that integrity means and what that looks like. Let's talk first about sexual integrity and men. The standard that God calls you men and me to is holiness, perfection in Christ, right? Purity. In fact, Scripture says what? Don't even let there be a hint, even a hint of immorality in you. So whether you are married or single, that is the standard for all. Called to live in purity. Does anyone notice that men and women are a little different? And I'm not just talking about the obvious physical differences. Well, there are differences among us. And while we have common challenges and struggles, there are some things that men struggle with more than women, some things women struggle with more than men. So guys, what would you say when it comes to sexual integrity you struggle with the most? I would guess it's what you see, isn't it? And what you think about it when you see it. The eyes, that we are visual beings, aren't we? Very much affected, influenced by what we see. So men, what does integrity mean for us with our eyes? Well, it means being very careful then about what we put before our eyes, isn't it? It means being very careful with what we do with those eyes. Careful about stimulus that we allow into our brains through the portal of our eyes. Racy television or movies. Lewd staring, or perhaps that biggest battleground of all, pornography. It's like I've said before, the statistics are very disturbing. And it isn't just out there in the world, it's in the church too, that Christian men, good Christian men, struggle with this because of the powerful, compelling force of what we see and how easy it has become to pursue. It used to be what? You had to go to some had to go to some bad part of the town, right, and sneak into some store somewhere. And now it's all right there available at the click of a mouse, isn't it? So purity for men, it means being very careful with our eyes about what we put before our eyes, being disciplined with them. It means being very careful then with our minds, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When you see something or a thought comes to your mind that you know that is not honoring to the Lord, well, we take it captive. There's that word captive again, grabbing hold of and taking hold of us. We take hold of it and say, no, I'm going to be obedient to Christ. Another thing with purity, I think, for us guys is our eyes and our minds, taking every thought captive. Another would be our speech. Very, very common for lewd talk out there in the world, isn't it? So as Christian men, are we to engage in that kind of stuff ourselves? No. Or here's another thing then I think that is appropriate for us to consider, guys, for purity. So about this one is treating all women with respect. Thinking of them as you might treat a sister. In fact, what is the admonition of Scripture? It says what? To treat the older women as mothers and the younger women as sisters in all purity. Now, there's, of course, a lot more that could be said about this, and I know that that we need help. We need resources on this. And, of course, the great resource, not only for us guys, but for all of us, is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But sometimes it's good to have a little flesh and blood help come alongside us. And I want to, these are not new things, you've seen these before, but I want to recommend if you are struggling in this area of your life, that there are resources. A classic that's been out there a long time is this, it's called Every Man's Battle by Stephen Arterburn and Fred Stoker. And it's a very no-punches-pulled, straightforward account of what can happen when we give ourselves over to immorality and what we can then do to protect ourselves and to walk in the way that is good and right and honoring and pleasing to the Lord. And what's good about this book, too, is there is the perspective of women as well in this, where you see the section that's addressed to men, and there's a response from women to see their perspective on these things. Kind of a classic in the field, but here's another one. Sometimes you need to get hit right between the eyes with the truth. And if you need a good hard shot of reality right between the eyes, you don't want it, but you know you need it, then I want to recommend something to you that will do exactly that, because this is I guess to mix the metaphor a little bit. This one is like going 15 rounds with Tyson in his glory days of truth here, okay? This one is called At the Altar of Sexual Idolatry by Steve Gallagher. And he talks about what is things that maybe we just want to casually dismiss, exposing it for the sin that it is, which is idolatry. Pulls no punches, tells it like it is, tells the truth about it, but then offers then a biblical response and a biblical way out. So I would recommend that to you. So sexual integrity in men, purity for men, what does it look like? Well, let's talk then about sexual integrity and women. Well, the call is the same for women as well, which is purity. But again, because men and women are different, there may be some different areas of struggle, and the struggle for women. Again, single or married, all are called to purity. I think one of the great areas of temptation, and this happens with men too, but I think it's a great area of temptation for women, is a struggle with what you might call an emotional affair or emotional attachments. The fantasy life. Thinking that, boy, you know, there's a guy over there that, boy, he's a lot better than my husband in this way or that way. Fantasizing about that. And, you know, maybe nothing physical ever happens. But it's still the sin of adultery, isn't it? With those emotional entanglements. So emotional affairs. I know a friend who, I guess I'll just say, she did not have the best marriage. And then meanwhile, along comes this man who, I think, trying to be helpful to her, would listen to her, talk with her. By the way, that's generally never a good idea for men and women to counsel one another, if you will. But she came to really appreciate a lot of qualities that he had that she didn't see in her husband, which eventually led to an emotional attachment, an affair, and eventually then a physical affair as well. So women, I think the call is there to be very careful about those thoughts about, if only, you know, he has this call. I wish my husband was like that. And not being content with God's provision for you. By the way, this side of heaven, God's provision for you in a mate is not absolute perfection, is it? Bob, we're going to have a word afterwards, so. Yeah. So it's not, well, if only my mate was perfect, then I'd be content. No, it's, you be content with what God has given you. And by this message is not intended to address every conceivable issue or problem. I know there are problems, okay? But we're called to be content in the place where God has put us, right? And we need his grace for the cold, hard realities of imperfection. So be careful about those fleeting thoughts, those romantic ideas and thoughts and notions. You know, another thing for purity for women, I think, is the need or the call for modesty. Being careful how you dress. Now, you ask a woman if she knows how her dress affects a man. She will say yes. Oh, she knows. She understands. I want you to know that you may understand partially, but guys, you and I both know she doesn't really fully understand, does she? So be very careful. Modesty in dress, modesty in speech, modesty in how you interact with men. And I have a resource for you, too. By the way, all these books are available at a good low price. No, I'm kidding. I don't have this. You have to get these yourselves. But in that series of the Every Man, Every Woman, there is a title for women called Every Woman's Battle by Shannon Etheridge. It is specifically to address those issues that women face. As I said, there are many things as men and women that we have in common. We are all tempted in many ways, but there are certain things that seem to trouble men more than women or women more than men. And so this is a good resource for women, Every Woman's Battle by Shannon Etheridge. Men and women, and what about youth, young people, young men and women? You know, I have to tell you that there is, if you didn't know this, I think you probably do, but there is extreme pressure on you today in our culture. Peer pressure has always been around, but now there used to be a certain standard, even among unbelievers, about what was acceptable or not in behavior. Now that is completely changing to where anything goes sexually among boys and girls. And it's getting younger and younger and younger to elementary school now. There is that technology issue then too, isn't there? Again, how technology has made it easier to... Technology can do wonderful things, and it can also, though, be used by the sin nature to do terrible things. So there is the internet. There are smartphones. And with smartphones, this phenomenon called sexting. Instead of texting, where you text words, you take provocative or lewd pictures and send them. So there's a great extreme pressure on young people today. If you're a young person, you have teenagers, or even doesn't have to be a teenager anymore, preteens. There are resources for you too. Every Young Man's Battle by Stephen Arterburn and Fred Stoker, designed for the issues that younger men face. And of course, its counterpart, Every Young Woman's Battle, is available as well. There's another thing I wanted to touch upon too, is sexual integrity in a pressing contemporary issue. I'm going to have more to say about this at another time, but I just want to touch on it briefly here today. And that is the issue of same-sex attractions, homosexuality, and the changing attitudes in our culture. It really is amazing how much, again, that society has changed in the last 20 years or so on this issue, isn't it? Where before, apart from the scriptures, apart from faith of any kind, that most people would have a sense that, well, that homosexuality is immoral. And now things have changed such that if you dare suggest that there might be something immoral about homosexual behavior, then you are what? You're a bigot, you're a hater, you're ignorant. You're all those things. You're horrible things. It's the same thing as what? As being like a racist. Culture has changed. And how do we as a church speak to this issue, to our society, and withhold biblical standards? And how do we address this issue within the church? Because some of you struggle with this. And here's something, here's what I want to say to you today about this is, will you pray for me and pray for this church? Because I feel like I need to learn and grow in how to more effectively address this issue today in the church. Because of the changes in society, how do you firmly stand on the truth of Scripture that homosexual behavior is sinful and immoral? Communicate that, but yet then also, though, then be sensitive to the reality that there are Christians who struggle with this issue. Because I know some. And sometimes the attempt to try to deal with this issue can be misunderstood. Or maybe it's not misunderstood at all. People just think, well, you're a hater and you're a bigot. I'll give you an example of that. This is a postcard I received. Anytime you get a message that, or you get like a letter or something that doesn't have a return address, that's your first indication you probably shouldn't read it, right? But this is just a little thing. Make a long story short. I'm not going to go into all the details of it here now, but there was recently a situation, a public forum, where I thought lovingly and respectfully stood firm on clear biblical teaching about sexual integrity and what God's standards are. that homosexual behavior is a sin. But now it seems that if you even, I think, lovingly, gently, respectfully say that, it's like there's a segment of society, including, yes, even within the church, the one that is ready to throw away 5,000 years of clear teaching in God's word of God's people in the church and just says, oh, well, you guys are all wrong. We're educated and enlightened now today, and we know that people are born that way and it's okay. Well, here's what can happen. Then you get things like this, say, with a no return address that simply says, love is accepting everyone, every underlined. You see, because if you say there's something wrong with it, well, then you don't love them and you don't accept them. Well, you know what? I don't accept this argument or mentality. But I ask for your prayers, though, because how do we address this better as a church? Not compromising the truth of God's word. But how do we more effectively address society? And that's okay if society is going to hate us and persecute us and all that, and it may come to that, not only over this issue, but other things too. That's all right. But I'm saying, though, is there a way we can better address it? And here's where I really ask your prayer, as I realize, maybe with some things that I've said before on this issue, maybe there's someone here who struggles with same-sex attractions and feels like, I'm not a safe person to talk to about it. Because the reality is, same-sex attractions exist, they are there. I have opposite sex attractions that I was born with and have a hard time handling sometimes. But I'm not going to say it's not sinful. So how do we then minister to the person with the same-sex attraction to show them that, you know, the blood of Jesus has forgiven and cleansed that too? Sexual integrity in you, I want you to know that you're forgiven, that if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are completely and entirely cleansed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have eternal life by faith in Him. That you do not need to go around continuously and continually beating yourself up, maybe feeling guilty about things that you have done. If you have confessed it, it is forgiven. Amen? I want you to know, too, that you are righteous. That God has given you the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. And I know that you don't always act righteous, and I know that I don't always act righteous. But God says you're righteous in Him, in Christ. I want you to know that there is continual cleansing as well, that you are continuously cleansed. What do the scriptures say? That if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I want you to know, too, that you are empowered. You are empowered. That you don't have to be a slave to this sin. That you can walk in new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't say it was always going to be easy. But that's what you have by faith. I want to conclude then by asking this simple question. Are you walking a path of purity? You're walking a path of purity. What is the standard? Scripture says not even a hint of immorality. How do we do that? Well, understanding that we're forgiven, that we're righteous, that we're continuously cleansed, that we're empowered. We continue walking in the Spirit We walk in the Spirit, which means what, daily we're yielding ourselves up to God, saying, I can't do this. You have to live this life of righteousness in me and through me, Lord, by your Spirit. Saying no to sin, walking by faith in the provision God has made for you and given you, seeking him for your contentment and fulfillment. Walking in the Spirit, the renewing of the mind, being very careful about what we're putting into these minds. Are we putting the truth of God's word in our minds and living in that and meditating on and chewing that? Or are we putting the garbage of the world in there and expecting to live in victory when we're dwelling on garbage? The spiritual disciplines of meditation on God's word, of prayer, of worship, and accountability. I know that that is a word that gets thrown out there a lot, but I'm not talking about the kind of accountability which simply says, oh, you failed again? Yeah, me too. Oh, well, better luck next time. I'm not talking about, that's not real biblical accountability, isn't it? I'm talking about someone that you can be completely honest with and someone who, yeah, they're not going to say, oh, you blew up. Oh, sorry, better luck next time. They're going to hold you up and pray for you, support you, encourage you, and yes, hold your feet to the fire. And when you say, I blew it again, that's not an acceptable answer. Finally, then, one final thought here on this. I've been challenging you with this all along. If you haven't done it, you've got another great opportunity to do it here, starting tomorrow. You can start today if you want. But starting tomorrow, that is what I'm calling the Proverbs Daily Challenge. You know where that is? 31 chapters in Proverbs, right? 31 days of the month. Every day, read that chapter of Proverbs for the day. Tomorrow is the first. Why not start with chapter 1 tomorrow? You can even start with 31 today if you want. Start with chapter 1 tomorrow and read that and make that a discipline in your life. Let's pray. Lord, these are some hard truths here, but necessary for us to hear them. And God, we have all fallen short at one time or another. God, some of us, that we have struggled repeatedly. We've fallen many times. But God, your grace is enough. It is sufficient to cleanse and forgive. So God, cleanse us. Thank you for our righteousness that is ours by faith in Jesus Christ. Help us to walk in purity, with integrity. God, is there someone here who needs someone to talk to? Would you point us? Would you direct us in that direction? Would you give us then, Lord, someone with whom we can be accountable? And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.